Our reading for today begins in Exodus 27, verse 9. Exodus chapter 27, verse 9. You shall make the court of the tabernacle. On the south side of the court shall have hangings of fine twined linen, 100 cubits long for one side. Its 20 pillars and their 20 bases shall be of bronze, but the hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise for its length on the north side there shall be hangings 100 cubits long, its pillars 20 and their bases 20 of bronze, but the hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And for the breadth of the court on the west side there shall be hangings for 50 cubits, with 10 pillars and 10 bases. The breadth of the court on the front to the east shall be 50 cubits. The hangings for the one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, with their 3 pillars and 3 bases. On the other side the hangings shall be 15 cubits, with their 3 pillars and 3 bases. For the gate of the court there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen embroidered with needlework. It shall have 4 pillars, and with them 4 bases. All the pillars around the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver, and their bases of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the breadth 50, and the height 5 cubits, with hangings of fine twined linen and bases of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle for every use, and all its pegs, and all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze. You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn. In the tent of meeting, outside the veil that is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to be observed throughout their generations by the people of Israel. Then bring near to you Aaron your brother, and his sons with him, from among the people of Israel, to serve me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful, whom I have filled with a spirit of skill, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him for my priesthood. These are the garments that they shall make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a coat of checker work, a turban, and a sash. They shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons to serve me as priests. They shall receive gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns, and of fine twined linen skillfully worked. It shall have 2 shoulder pieces attached to its 2 edges, so that it may be joined together. And the skillfully woven band on it shall be made like it, and be of one piece with it, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen. You shall take 2 onyx stones, and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, 6 of their names on the one stone, and the names of the remaining 6 on the other stone, in the order of their birth. As a jeweler engraves signets, so shall you engrave the 2 stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall enclose them in settings of gold filigree, and you shall set the 2 stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as stones of remembrance for the sons of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his 2 shoulders for remembrance. You shall make settings of gold filigree and 2 chains of pure gold twisted like cords, and you shall attach the corded chains to the settings. You shall make a breastpiece of judgment in skilled work. In the style of the ephod you shall make it, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen shall you make it. It shall be square and doubled, a span its length and a span its breadth. You shall set in it 4 rows of stones. A row of sardius, topaz, and carbuncle shall be the first row, and the second row an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row a jacinth and agate, an amethyst, and the 4th row a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold filigree. There shall be 12 stones with their names according to the names of the sons of Israel. They shall be like signets, each engraved with its name for the 12 tribes. You shall make for the breastpiece twisted chains like cords of pure gold, And you shall make the breastpiece 2 rings of gold, and put the 2 rings on the 2 edges of the breastpiece. And you shall put the 2 cords of gold in the 2 rings at the edges of the breastpiece. The 2 ends of the 2 cords you shall attach to the 2 settings of filigree, and so attach it in front to the shoulder pieces of the ephod. You shall make 2 rings of gold, and put them at the 2 ends of the breastpiece on its inside edge next to the ephod. And you shall make 2 rings of gold, and attach them in front to the lower part of the 2 shoulder pieces of the ephod, at its seam above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, so that it may lie on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, so that the breastpiece shall not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment on his heart, when he goes into the holy place to bring them to regular remembrance before the Lord. And in the breastpiece of judgment you shall put the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be on Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. Thus Aaron shall bear the judgment of the people of Israel on his heart before the Lord regularly. You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. It shall have an opening for the head in the middle of it, with a woven binding around the opening, like the opening in a garment, so that it may not tear. On its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet yarns around its hem, with bells of gold between them, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate around the hem of the robe. And it shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and it shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, so that he does not die. You shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, Holy to the Lord. And you shall fasten it on the turban by a cord of blue. It shall be on the front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear any guilt from the holy things that the people of Israel consecrate as their holy gifts. It shall regularly be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You shall weave the coat in checker work of fine linen, and you shall make a turban of fine linen, and you shall make a sash embroidered with needlework. For Aaron's sons you shall make coats and sashes and caps. You shall make them for glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him, and shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. You shall make for them linen undergarments to cover their naked flesh. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs, and they shall be on Aaron and on his son when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, lest they bear guilt and die. This shall be a statute forever for him and for his offspring after him. This concludes our reading for today. You know, as I read through all of these descriptions that God is giving in terms of how he wants things done, I noticed 2 things that stand out to me. One is that God expected great care to be used in crafting these items, and that he gave them the skill necessary in order to accomplish it. God didn't just expect them to be able to figure it out, but he gave them the skill. He gave them a blessing in order to accomplish what he was giving them. Second is that sometimes we read through a lot of this stuff or any other rules or things that God sets, and we think, well, I don't see a reason for all of this. But notice that within these descriptions, once in a while, we get a reason. You know, so that it might be a remembrance, so that it might be on Aaron's heart, those types of things. We need to realize that God puts things in place not just because it's what he wants, but because it's of our benefit as well. And maybe sometimes it's a little more difficult to figure out what that benefit might be, but even if we have trouble figuring it out, it doesn't mean that there is no benefit or that God didn't have some reason for it. There may be a moment of faith in which we just take it and understand that God had a reason for things, and there may be over time an understanding that we build up in order to see some of those benefits. We think about, for example, the New Testament command to sing. It's not just because God wants to hear us sing. And in a lot of cases, we know that it's not because we have such wonderful voices with which to sing, but because we are to focus on God, glorify Him, praise Him, and that we are to teach one another with those biblically based songs that would teach true biblical concepts. That's one of the reasons why we take some care in making sure that the songs that we sing are biblically correct. Just remember that next time maybe something seems burdensome that God commands us to do. Just sit down and think for a moment. What's the reasoning? Why did God want me to do this or do this in this way? And you will likely find a good logical benefit in what God has told us to do. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.